All right, I'm going to break with the traditional way of doing things for a few moments here, and I'm going to actually have you respond to something I say. I have to preface this because I think I threw the first congregation for a loop when I did this. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Good job. This is what we're here to celebrate this morning. We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what this day is ultimately all about. Now, we ought to say a few things about the resurrection before we hear what promise God gives us in the resurrection of Jesus. First, and this needs to be noted, this is not a myth. But this is an actual historical event that occurred in real human history. As many folks, both Christian and non-Christian alike, have noted, this is in fact one of the best attested events in human history. Paul says later on that over 500 people saw the risen Lord Jesus shortly after Easter happened. And that means that we can pretty much rule out the idea that this was just a hallucination that a few people had. This is well attested to. Many people saw the risen Lord Jesus. Second, the resurrection is not a metaphor for the possibility that we all have for a second chance or a new beginning after we've somehow crashed and burned in life. While those kinds of things are absolutely possible, you know, people, we all have second chances. We have new opportunities to do things anew. To make that what the resurrection is all about is actually to cheapen the resurrection in some way. The resurrection has far more to say and a far more powerful and important word than something so prosaic as to simply say we all get a second chance in life. So this is neither a myth and this is not a metaphor, but this is a real event that has occurred in real human history. Now, of course, that does raise a question for us, and that question is this. What is the resurrection from Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, saying to us? Well, in order to get at the answer to that, we need to start with the problem that the resurrection is addressing, because the resurrection is addressing a problem. And there is perhaps no one better to get us to the heart of the matter than that prophet and poet from Hibbing, Minnesota, Bob Dylan. In his song, It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding, from his 1965 album, Bringing It All Back Home, St. Bob says these short but powerful words, "He not busy being born is busy dying." That, in a nutshell, is the human situation. If you're not in the act of being born, you are in the act of dying. And this is what we all see throughout our lives. No sooner are we born and we begin to grow and develop, than we very quickly turn a corner and everything starts to go downward in some way. Death and decay begin to creep in on us throughout life. Hair starts to go from blacks and browns and blondes and reds to various shades of gray. For us men who once had luscious manes on top of our heads, we find that those manes have given way to what my daughter has affectionately referred to as a five head. Not a forehead, but a five head. That's her joke. She gets all credit for that. Body parts start to malfunction. Once muscular bodies find that they're no longer muscular, but becoming increasingly flabby. And ever so subtly, maladies and illnesses start to become the norm rather than the exception. In the words of another great poet, Jeff Tweedy from the band Wilco, oh yes, death never rests. I can see you've done your best. The problem is just this. It's too late for regrets. I'm here to collect. That's death speaking. So this is the problem. We live in a world encompassed by death. The prophet Isaiah calls it the shroud that is cast over all the peoples, the sheet that is spread over all the nations. Not only does death touch us, but death touches everything around us. And those of you who were here a few weeks ago when I preached on the raising of Lazarus, you'll remember I noted this well, how death touches everything around us, our food, our clothing, our cars, our televisions, our houses, everything. But here's where the resurrection of Jesus comes as an answer to this problem. God promises through that same prophet Isaiah that he will swallow up death forever. And that's what Jesus begins to do on Easter morning. His resurrection is the beginning of God's work of swallowing up death forever, of breaking the power that death holds over us. It all starts early on Saturday or on Sunday morning after the Sabbath. Jesus has been dead and in the tomb since late on Good Friday afternoon. It's now the third day following the death of Jesus, following the inclusive manner of reckoning time that was held by the Hebrew people, which means you count the day it happened and the day you're on. So we get Friday, Saturday, Sunday on the third day. And two of the Marys who followed Jesus, Mary Magdalene and one whom Matthew refers to as the other Mary, the original audience of Matthew would have known who that other Mary is. We don't. She's just the other Mary. As my professor always said, in the resurrection stories, the Marys are wild. There seems to be quite a lot of them there. They went to see the tomb. Because Jesus had been buried in haste before the start of the Sabbath on Friday night, they hadn't been able to see the tomb. They hadn't been able to see the place where Jesus had been laid. And this is when we're told that there was suddenly an earthquake, along with the appearance of an angel of the Lord, descending to open the tomb for them. Now, let's be clear. The angel doesn't come to open the tomb to let Jesus out. Jesus is already risen and gone. The angel comes to the tomb to open the tomb so that the women at the tomb can see that Jesus is risen and gone. That's the purpose of the arrival. That's the purpose of the rolling back of the stone. And of course, as one might imagine, this is a rather terrifying sight for all who are involved. Matthew tells us that when the guards see it, they shook and became like dead men. You know that later on that day, when they took their clothes to the launderers, they had a pretty high laundry bill. And we're led to believe that the women, too, were terrified at this sight. Who wouldn't be, after all? But then the angel says this, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said." This is the gospel promise being spoken to these two women. Do not be afraid. Jesus has risen just as Jesus said he would do. The fear here, of course, and this is true for everyone, but in particular for the disciples themselves, the fear is the fear of punishment or retaliation on the part of Jesus. Now, why are they afraid of that? Well, we're told in the Good Friday narratives, in the Passion stories, that everyone involved either abandoned or denied Jesus on Good Friday. There was no one who remained faithful, no one who hung in there. And you can imagine that being the case, that if Jesus is risen from the dead, that means he's going to come back and even the score. You know, the great fear here is that Jesus is going to come back like the Terminator. And he's going to come back ready for some vengeance, to take everybody down for what they've done in turning their backs on him. But the angel says this, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid is a word of absolution. It is a word of forgiveness. All is forgiven, is what the angel is saying. Jesus is risen from the dead. And that means it's time to get up, and it's time to go out, and it's time to tell his disciples, and Jesus promises you that he will meet you in Galilee, back where it all began, back where this all started. So that's when the women take off, we're told with a mixture of fear and joy, to go and tell the disciples. And then we're told that Jesus himself appears to them. And when Jesus appears to them, Jesus says greetings to them, he welcomes them, and they fall down and take hold of his feet. That's the proper posture to be in when your Lord has come back from the dead. That's the proper posture to be in when you see your Lord resurrected. And Jesus, in turn, does what the angel did. And Jesus gives the absolution once again. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." And he tells them to go and tell the disciples. So what's the promise of the resurrection? Well, there are really two promises that God gives us in the resurrection of Jesus. The first is this: because Jesus is risen from the dead, you have nothing to fear. There is nothing to be afraid of. His rising means that your sins were dealt with effectively on the cross. His rising means that your sins were atoned for on Good Friday. If Jesus had just stayed dead in the tomb and never risen from the dead, none of us would ever know for sure that our sins actually were taken care of on the cross. None of us would ever know for sure that what happened to Jesus wasn't just a case of a man running afoul of the wrong people and ended up getting killed for it. But because he is risen from the dead, that means God has vindicated him. God has said, "Everything that this man has said to you is the absolute truth." And when he said that he was going to take care of your sin on the cross, he took care of your sin on the cross. And that means the word that comes with the resurrection, first and foremost, is a promise of absolution. It's a word of forgiveness. It's the promise from Jesus' lips to your ears that your sins are forgiven for his sake. It has all been put away. This is what we refer to in the scriptures as the first resurrection. You have been brought from death, spiritual death, to new life by the forgiveness of sins. God has taken your sins away fully and finally. And they are no longer a barrier between you and your God. Which leads us to the second promise of the resurrection. The second promise is this: because Jesus is risen from the dead, God has punched a hole in the shroud of death, and he has made a way out from underneath that covering that hangs over all of humanity. God has made a way out through death into life. The resurrection announces that not only has sin been conquered, but death has been conquered as well. And when the time comes for Jesus to come again, he's going to do two things. First, he is going to call your name, and you are going to rise up, be raised in your body, a body that has been animated, brought to life by the Holy Spirit, to live with him in the new creation. That is, this creation renewed and restored and made better than we can even possibly imagine it. A world that is rid of evil and a world that is perfected. And second, he is going to finally put away death. That's the promise Scripture gives us, that when he comes, the last enemy, death, will finally be thrown away, discarded and gone, never to be seen from, never to be heard from again. It will be swallowed whole on that day, and it will be gone. This, my friends, is what we celebrate today. This is what Easter is all about. We're celebrating the fact that there is nothing for us to fear. We're celebrating the fact that our sins have been put away in the cross of Christ, and we have ample evidence of the truth of that in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And we are celebrating the fact that death does not get the last word on our lives as we live in faith in Jesus. Sin and death don't get the last word over us. In fact, the resurrection announces that in the same way that Jesus was raised from the dead and came forth in his flesh and blood, in a real body. He wasn't a ghost. This wasn't Casper the Friendly Ghost showing up. He was real flesh and blood. In that same way, that's what's going to happen to all of us as well. The resurrection does not promise, and I need to say this, and it needs to be heard clearly, it does not promise that when we die, our soul will leave our body and float off to some place called heaven where we'll live as disembodied spirits forever. That's not the promise of the resurrection. The promise of the resurrection is much more fleshly. It's a promise that we will be raised in our flesh to live with God in the new heavens and the new earth that he will bring with the coming of Christ. So you have nothing to fear On the other side of death is life, but not just life, it's resurrection life. Resurrection life in the presence of God, a feast that will make your Easter dinner look like a snack. For all eternity, you will sit at that feast. So let's try this once again. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Amen.